Well, this morning, that's what the Lord wants to help us recover, is indestructible joy. Wouldn't you like to have that? Indestructible joy. Good to see you, Renee. Indestructible joy is what we want to seek after this morning. The Lord wants to help us find a way to recover that. As we're wrapping up our series on learning how to deal with disappointment, and as we've been sharing, there are a lot of disappointments in life. There's frustrations and there's trials and tribulations in this world that we encounter. And how do we deal with those disappointments? And as we've been continuing to refresh ourselves on what this journey looks like, first I have that negative intrusion that comes into my life, whether it's suffering, whether it's unmet expectations and disappointments, whether it's somebody else's suffering that's bothering me, or just the suffering that's going on around the world that we see on the news, there's this negative intrusion within my life. And then I begin to respond to it and process it emotionally. We're emotional beings, and so we begin to react emotionally to these things. And some of us, we process it very well. We respond with optimism and trust and those sort of things. But most of us respond to it with those negative emotions. And now, it's not wrong to have those emotions, but they begin to come. We experience anger and fear and anxiety and sadness and depression. And those emotions begin to come up when we interact with those negative intrusions. And then we don't like to feel that way. We don't like to feel sad. We don't like to feel angry. We don't like to feel anxious. And so then we begin to physically react. We try to do something to get rid of those feelings. And some of those actions could be good and very much what God calls us to do. We pray and we pray more. Some of us, we work and we work harder. Some of us, we try to clutch and cling to control and we try to make things change ourselves. Sometimes we try to get involved in the community and fix the problems that we see. Sometimes we fight and we argue and we get in conflict and those sort of things. And I see that facial expression back there. And those are the reactions we have. Sometimes we try to suppress the feelings. If I get myself to just not care anymore, then I won't feel the anger and I won't feel the sadness. But then the joy is gone. Then the faith is gone. Then the intimacy with God kind of goes and we find ourselves apathetic and just kind of disconnected. And that's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to be in a place where we have absolute trust in Him, we have hope, we have optimism, we believe, and we have joy. This indestructible joy is where God wants us to be. But how do I get to that place? How do I begin to recover those items, and how do I begin to deal with disappointment? Well, a few weeks ago, and if you miss any messages, you can look at them online on the Listen tab, or you can request a copy of the CD. But a few weeks ago, we began this journey by the first step is I have to accept the idea that there is suffering. If I can't accept that, then I'm not going to begin past stage one. And a big part of that is figuring out how to reconcile the idea that there is this all-loving God, that's all-powerful God, that lives, that coexists right alongside suffering. And how does that make any sense? And so once I'm able to reconcile those two things, then I'm able to begin to embrace the idea of suffering. Then a second part of our journey was seeing the positive side of suffering, the joy that's in the suffering. Just like we talked about how, the saying, there's no pain, no gain. All right? So if I push through the pain of exercise because I know that what's at the other end of the pain hurdle is better than what's on this side, then I'm willing to push through that pain and have joy in the midst of that pain. Or dieting and trying to restrain from eating all the desserts that you might see out there this afternoon. If you're dieting, so sorry. But we were willing to go through that pain because we know what's on the other end of the pain hurdle is so much better than on this side. And in order for us to recover that joy, we have to understand that aspect of suffering. Then last week, we talked about how to trust God without answers. That if we can come to God in a humble state, realizing that although we might be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old or older, God being the eternal God is still infinitely older than us and so much more wiser and understand things so much better. So to Him, we're just a 3-year-old child trying to understand life. And sometimes, no matter how hard you try to explain certain things to a 3-year-old, there's just no way explaining quantum physics to them. I mean, there really is. I can't even understand quantum physics yet. And there's just no way to communicate it. And that's the boat that God is in, is there are some things that He just can't explain it to us. And so if I'm willing to be humble enough to understand that, then I get this place where I can trust God without the answers. But now, the last step of the journey is, how do I get to a place where I encounter or have or possess this indestructible joy? Well, the way that I get this is I need to understand or comprehend what the reward is that I have ahead of me. Because I think that sometimes when we hear God say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and we hear all the testimonies of people rejoicing through the sufferings, we think that God just wants us to just fake joy. Okay, God just wants me to just pretend like, you know, I don't have any provisions, I'm sick, I have all kinds of physical problems, I have relational problems, so I don't really have reason to be joyful other than I know I'm saved, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't really have a list of things to pile out there and say, this is why I'm joyful. And so sometimes we feel like, I just need to fake it. And then we think that heaven's just going to be more of the same. When I get to heaven, I'm just going to have to continue to fake being happy. And so when we think about going to heaven, it doesn't bring us any delight, doesn't bring us any joy. Some of us, we picture just floating around on a cloud somewhere, lost in space. Some of us picture being out somewhere in the wilderness in a little shack or a hut or a tent. We don't picture the grandeur of what is the future that we have ahead of us. And this morning, we want to picture that. And you don't realize how happy God actually wants you to be. How much God wants to lavish so many things upon you that he almost wants to treat you like that spoiled child. He wants to give you everything your heart desires. Doesn't he sound like that when he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find? What earthly father would give a boy a stone when he asks for bread? And so he wants to lavish, and let me show you, illustrate this for you. It began with the Garden of Eden. He created the Garden of Eden, and he placed Adam and Eve there, and the place that he put them was paradise. Everything was perfect. There was no pain. There was no suffering. They were completely intimate with God. Adam had this gorgeous supermodel wife, and Eve had this fantastic beefcake of a man. I mean, everything was just perfect, and the guy wasn't lazy. He did everything that his wife wanted, and the husband just had everything. Everything was perfect. There was no shame. There was no guilt. Everything was great. In fact, God never wanted that to end. He said, if you eat from this tree, then you will die. If. And so God's intention was that they would live in this state forever. They would never leave out of this paradise. They would just always have everything they ever wanted. God wanted them to be happy. But it's us that began to cave and give in to sin and rebel against God, and we began to lose out. God, but originally, this is where God wants us. And in fact, when we look at the parable, the talents, there are two verses, and today we're going to jump all over the place, okay? So if you have a pen, you could jot down the verse references. If you miss them, you can listen to the message later and get them as well. Or you can do like Joni, and after the service, you can come grab a hold of the pulpit and take my notes and snatch everything off there that you need to. Good thing I didn't put my bank account information on there like usual. No, just kidding. But the statement that Jesus gives to those who enter into eternity, he says it two times, Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23. He says, enter into the joy of your master. The place that he has for us is supposed to be this place of exuberant joy. It's so amazing, so astounding. It's described almost like a banquet feast. This is the location. This is what God has in store. And then he says, Jesus, when he's dying on the cross, one of the other guys on the cross, the other criminals, reaches out to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, in Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you understand how happy God wants you to be? Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not a prosperity message. I'm not telling you that if you speak to your wallet, there'll be $3 million in there. I'm not telling you that if you pray in faith and go claim that mansion, it's going to be yours. That's not what I'm sharing this morning. But what we don't realize is what we lack here, there is so much great reward ahead of us that if we could simply even grasp just a minute picture of what is ahead of us, we would begin to develop this indestructible joy that, as we read in Romans 8, that the sufferings in this life pale in comparison to the greatness of what we have ahead of us. But we often just don't really grasp the scope of how much God actually wants us to be happy. There's just a little bit of a delayed gratification with it. God wants us to be happy, and we can recover that indestructible joy by comprehending the reward. What is the reward? The first reward is this, this incredible dwelling. This incredible dwelling, Revelation 21 verse 5, says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, I have some pictures up here to tempt you this morning. Bonnie's going to help me with this. But, you know, the people have talked about that new car smell. Now, I've never had a brand new car myself, but I've been in a brand new car. And a new car feels great. It smells great. It's great to be in a brand new car. But give it 5 years, and then all of a sudden that car begins to wear a little bit, and especially depending on how well you take care of it. But it's nice to have something that's new. Or how many would like, let's do the next slide. How many would like a new fixture to your house? Would you like to add a pool or a hot tub into your house? Anybody would like that? This is free of charge, okay? No cost to it. Alma has offered to pay for everyone. Everyone in the house gets a free... But wouldn't it be great to have that? And especially when it's brand new. Because if you ever brought something brand new to add to your house, and again, after some years, it begins to kind of lose its appeal when the newness is gone. Because brand new things just are so much better. Next slide. Anybody want some new living room furniture? If you've ever got some new furniture in your house, it just feels so much better when it's new. I don't know why that is, but it just feels so much better when it is brand new. Or maybe a new bedroom set. Anybody would like a new bedroom set? Okay, and if you could dim those lights a little bit, but no sleeping, all right? No sleeping. Yes, as I said, Alma is paying for all the giveaways this morning. But a new bedroom set, you know that fresh feeling when you just washed all your bed clothes and just put them all back out? Just new feeling, just feels great. It feels amazing to have new stuff. And what John says in Revelation, what is declared in Revelation 21, verse 5, is that, "Behold, I am making all things new." In this incredible dwelling, there is this constant state of newness. Everything always feels new. Doesn't that sound great? Everything always feels, the newness never rubs off. For all eternity, everything always feels new. Then Revelation 21 verse 6 says, "To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." There's these provisions that are provided in heaven. There's no need to have a steady income. There's no need to try to make ends meet. There's needing to pinch your dollars and your pennies and try to refrain from spending. Everything your heart's desire will be there for free. Anybody like food? Got some food up there? Anybody like some food? Good thing we're eating afterwards, right? Have some burgers up there, some chicken. Anybody like fruit? Anybody like nice fresh fruit? Anybody have a sweet tooth? And you like some desserts, cookies, pie, ice cream, cake and such, desserts. You know what's cool about heaven? Is there is no getting overweight in heaven. Did you know that? And if you don't believe me, we'll get there for a second. And listen, Jesus in his resurrection, see, this is where people kind of misunderstand because they picture floating around on the clouds somewhere in this new heaven and new earth. Understand that Jesus in his resurrected body ate a meal with the disciples. In fact, what is the end called? The marriage supper of the Lamb, right? And so there is this ability to eat, and you won't ever gain weight. You won't ever have to worry about a heart attack or having a stroke one day. You can eat all the things you've always wanted to eat, and you don't have to pay for it. For all eternity, you have everything to your heart's content. You don't realize how happy, how joyous, how much God wants to lavish the spoiling love like the love onto a little child that he has ready for you in this incredible dwelling. And if I can understand that, all the indestructible joy, because who cares what I suffer in this life when I know what's ahead of me? Because listen, if I were to tell you that come and you think about all the financial struggles and hardships you find yourself facing and all the feelings that come with that, the anxiety and the anger and the frustration and the effect that has on your relationships. If I were to tell you that July 1st of 2018, July 1st of next year, you are going to inherit $1 billion, you would know it for a guarantee and no one would know about it. So you wouldn't have to have people kind of come chasing you down for money. You would just get secretly $1 billion and you knew that was coming. What would that do to the joy? What would that do to the anxiety you have about your money problems? It's not happening now. It's not happening right away. But if you knew ahead of you was a day that you wouldn't have to worry about any provisions, that would change you. And if we really understood this, the glorious future, the incredible dwelling that is ahead of us, then like Paul said, the sufferings in this life pale by comparison to what is ahead of us. Who could take this joy away from us when this paradise is ahead of us? Free provisions. Also, Luke chapter 14, Jesus describes the parable of the banquet. And the banquet is the end of time when everybody is coming to that final invitation for that destination. It's described as a banquet, as a party. And if you've ever been at a party that was great, you just loved spending time with people, or you got together with some friends and you were just having a great time and you were experiencing the high of the party, you've ever had those emotional highs? This place, this incredible dwelling, has the high of the party for all eternity. It always has that feeling. This is how Jesus describes it. It's a banquet. It's a party. It's a celebration. The high of the party is always there, as well as the relaxation of total rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." There is this Sabbath rest that is ahead of us that is going to give us, good job, guys, good job. There is this Sabbath rest that God is going to give to us. Wouldn't you love to be at total relaxation? Don't you love those days that you have nothing? And I know maybe they haven't happened for 10 years, but those days that you have nothing on your plate, nothing scheduled, maybe the house to yourself, and you could just sleep until you wake up. Aren't those great days? Have you ever had one of those days that you woke up feeling totally refreshed, like you actually rested? This is heaven. Total peace, rest, and relaxation for all eternity. I don't think you understand the delight that is in this incredible dwelling that is ahead of us. Then, Jesus in John 14, the first three verses, talks about, "In my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you." And again, there's different versions to this. Some of the versions translate it mansions, and some translate it rooms. And we might, again, picture just we get a little room of the apartment somewhere, or maybe we just get a little hut somewhere on the beach or something, or a shack somewhere. And I've heard people tease about how I know how my life has been, so I'm just going to get like a little condo somewhere with a one bedroom and a one bathroom and stuff. And we think that God just has little for us. And some of us have a little bit of self-righteousness about us. Well, I don't want anything from God. God give me poverty, and God give me sickness, and I don't care if I suffer all my life. I'm fine with that. No, God wants you to have your heart's desires. It just might be delayed gratification. You might not get it in this life, but I tell you what, you got to understand this incredible dwelling, because as we might see, whether or not it may be mansions or houses, as Jesus is describing it, depending on the translation, listen to the description and revelation of the building that God is preparing to build for us, and tell me if this sounds like a shack. Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21 says this: "The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth chameleon, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the gates, the 12 gates, were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the streets of the city were paved with gold, transparent as glass." Does that sound like any hut? Does that sound like any hut to you? This is the place that God is preparing for you, an amazing dwelling. And in fact, if we try to think of some of the magnificent homes that we've seen in this life, and there have been some magnificent homes that man has thought up in their minds. And we could look at one. This is the courtyard of the home. Doesn't that look like a pretty large home? You have a fountain. Anybody like the sound of running water? I love the sound, like a beach sound or like a fountain and those things. Or next slide. This room just looks great. The fireplace, doesn't that look relaxing? Wouldn't you like to sit in there and read a book or something? Next slide. The kitchen. You ever lack kitchen space? Or cabinet space? Or refrigerator space? It looks like they have two refrigerators there. Next slide. The bedroom with all those windows. It looks gorgeous. Next slide. Wouldn't you like that theater room in your house? Those chairs look nice and comfortable. They also seem to have that new feeling. Next slide. Wouldn't you like the game room? Anybody like someone who would like a game room? I love playing games and stuff and just have people over and hang out and have that available to you. Next slide. Again, hot tub. When we went on vacation, it was one of those indoor water hotels, and they had a hot tub in there. That's all Faith wanted to do the whole time was be in that hot tub, just the whole week long. And so I was the one that had to stay in there with her, and it wasn't any pain or suffering, by the way. And look at that fire pit right next to it. Wouldn't that be great to have in your house? Available to you. You're not renting this place. You're living there. Next slide. Anybody like grilling? Then it looks like a nice fire pit out there. Next slide. That pool. Anybody like swimming? Like to take a dip in the pool? Imagine you could just wake up. You don't have to get to work, so you can just wake up and take a dip in the pool. Then maybe go eat some of that food we saw earlier. Go back, take a dip in the pool if you like swimming. But just great things in there. This is the incredible dwelling that God has for you. You see, sometimes the reason why we don't recover this indestructible joy is we just imagine floating on a cloud somewhere. We imagine living in some hut or some shack, or we get one little corner of an apartment somewhere. This is not our God. And understand that the scripture describes that the things that take place in this earth, especially throughout the Old Testament, as it describes the temple and the palace and those things, it says these things are a shadow of what is to come. And you see, the things that man can conceive, which are astounding, what man can conceive, is only a shadow, just pales in comparison. I believe this is coming from the creativity of God that is just being a shadow within a man, that God is going to so far outdo this for you that if you find you're suffering, just remember that my heaven, my reward, is this incredible dwelling that I'm going to dwell in and watch this indestructible joy that who cares what kind of house I live in now? I know what's ahead of me. Amen? And this is how we get this indestructible joy, by having our mind fixated. What does it say? Keep your mind heavenward. Keep your mind fixed on the prize. Because God didn't want us to fake it till we make it. God didn't want us to just pretend to be joyful. He wanted us to rejoice because of what we know is guaranteed to us. This incredible dwelling that is a place of delight, an amazing home. And maybe some of you are more outdoorsy types. It is also in an oasis. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, being as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves are for the healing of the nations." This oasis that's described. And anybody nature lovers? You love great nature scenes to go and explore and see. And we got some of these here. Let's see if that's next. I think so. Doesn't that look pretty? Fall is my favorite season. I love the changing of the leaves and the cool, crisp air and love being outside. Next slide. Wouldn't you love to take a trip out there and see that? Isn't that gorgeous? Some of you are already at peace right now. next slide. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? And I've heard there's some beaches like this that you can just go out for miles and never really get where the water's above your head, just enjoying those crystal blue waters. Next slide. That waterfall, just gorgeous scenery. Have you ever been to places like this and you feel the tension begin to leave your body and your neck and such? This is what God has in store for us. Is there another one, Bonnie? If there's not, we won't show. There we go. Isn't that gorgeous? Again, more. Next one. All right, next one. The sunset, beautiful sunset. Now note that this stuff is the stuff that's been tainted by sin. And so if sin restricts the beauty that it still looks like that, imagine when we go into this oasis of a heaven, this new heaven and new earth, that not only will it be better than this, which is astounding to think, But everything is without cost. And so you don't have to work out the vacation time to be able to go there. You don't have to pay for the airfare to get there and do this once in a lifetime. You get to spend times in the oasis for all eternity. And so when we find ourselves suffering, this is what is right around the corner when we reach the end of our lives, when Jesus Christ returns. This is what he has in store for us. Is this paradise, this incredible dwelling, that if I can just simply picture and begin to grasp the great things God has in store for me, as Paul says, the sufferings of this world pale by comparison to the glories that are to come. We can recover this indestructible joy if we understand the reward of the incredible dwelling. Secondly, the incredible body. Now, again, I remind you, Revelation 21, verse 5 says, "Behold, I make all things new." That includes this body. Now, don't believe me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed in a moment." How would you like to feel like a 22-year-old again? Wouldn't you like that 22-year-old feel again? Because as we get older, our bodies age, and we have all those aches and pains, and we experience the sicknesses and the brunt of life. But could you imagine being in a perpetual state of being 22? Could you imagine that? Just this body that just doesn't, no more wrinkles, no more baldness, no more dyeing your hair, just the feel, the look of a 22-year-old for all eternity. This is what's ahead of you. And not only that, this body, this incredible body, is a body that feels amazing. Go ahead and put those athletes on there. Oh, we're skipping. This is Michael Johnson, that Olympian runner, as well as Serena Williams, the tennis player. If you've ever been in a state where you're real physically fit, your body feels great. It just feels great. And you know what's cool? It's you don't have to go through a workout routine all the time, and you don't have to diet. Somehow, all that food we saw before is all for your heart's content, and at the same time, having this perfect body that feels great. What does it say in Revelation 21, verse 4? It says so. 1 Corinthians 15 again, verse 42 and 43. "So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." This is the body that is ahead of us. Then Revelation 21, verse 4, "Death shall be no more, neither shall there be any more pain." And again, Revelation 22, "The trees are for the healing of the nations." You will never suffer again. And not no more suffering, like you just enter a state of unconsciousness. You will be fully aware, delighting in all the pleasures of heaven, and you will never feel any physical pain or discomfort ever again. Doesn't that sound amazing? This is the incredible body that is ahead of us if we find ourselves in Jesus Christ. And not only a body that feels amazing, but emotions that feel amazing. Doesn't that sound good? Ever feel excited? Go ahead. Ever feel it, Miss Bonnie? Excited. There we go. We feel excited. Doesn't it feel great? Anybody like roller coasters? Those of you who do, you love that adrenaline rush that you get when you ride roller coasters. It feels great. This is the exhilaration that is ahead of us in heaven. And those of you who hate roller coasters, you're thinking, well, that did not give me any joy whatsoever. or the ever be hanging around with some friends and just be lost in laughter. You're just laughing so much, you no longer even know what you're laughing about, but you're in a state of absolute bliss. Isn't that great? Or total rest again. Go ahead. Again, wouldn't you like to just be cuddled up in a cozy bed when you're all tired and exhausted and just fall into that deep sleep, no interruptions, just all peace? Those feelings, that emotional state, those states that you've experienced in this life, as they've been few and far between perhaps for you, this is a perpetual state of always feeling amazing, both in your physical body as well as your emotions. This is the reward that God has ahead of those who find themselves in Christ. And so how could we not be without for just a little while on this earth? Because the sufferings in this life pale by comparison to what the glorious future is. Don't you want to go there? Don't just sometimes just say, come on, just rapture us right now. Let's go right there. These are the joys that God has ahead of you. And if we can just simply grasp the magnitude of how great this is, oh, the indestructible joy that we begin to recover when we understand the reward. The reward of the incredible dwelling, the reward of the incredible body. Lastly, and perhaps the most astounding and perplexing, maybe the most difficult to even understand or imagine, is the incredible relationships that we will find in heaven. Now, let me explain that to you. First, there's perfect social relationships. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Those lost loved ones that we've lost over the years, no longer will that separation be there. But we will be with them. If they were in Christ, we will be with them for all eternity. And not only that, but maybe you've had relatives, children who had to move away because of a job assignment or those sort of things, and now they're several states away. And that feeling of being with them is so distant so often, you very rarely get to see them. Or maybe you've had friends and coworkers or college friends that you had that now there's a separation, or relationships. Sometimes relationships just change and you kind of drifted away and you long for those days of that intimacy and that delight that you got to be with them for all eternity. That is something that never takes place in heaven. This separation never takes place in heaven. We will be together with each other for all eternity. Now, some of you, you might start to think of some people you know that went on to heaven ahead of you, and you think, well, I don't know about that and wonder whether or not that gives me joy. But we misunderstand this perfect social environment, because Romans chapter 8, verse 21 through 23, these statements are found. It says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, not only the creation, but we ourselves wait eagerly for the adoption as sons. So this place that we're headed to, this corruption ends up being removed. And then Revelation 21, verse 4 again says that there is no more sorrow and no more tears. He will wipe away every tear from our eye. All this emotional pain is taken away. The presence of it is just not there. And then in Revelation 21, verse 27 says, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember how over the last past several weeks we've been talking about the idea of this great society that God is creating, that one day we will live in this great society, and some of that involves this purification that needs to take place in our lives, and part of that is the reason why we're still on this journey of what needs to change about us, because if God allows us coming into this place that are hateful, we're bitter, we have all those kind of sinful things in our heart, then we're going to destroy this great eternity that God has in store for us. So he has to work those things out in us. But listen, all the corruption, all the sin, all the difficulties, all the problems, all the hate, gone. It's not there. So when you think about the times that you have been inhibited, that you've restrained yourself from getting intimate emotionally with other people because of the thought of, well, I don't know how they're going to react when they know that. I don't know if they're going to respond with a warm embrace and comfort and love upon me. They might insult me. They might laugh. They might make fun of me. They might gossip and share that with somebody else. They might look down on me. And so how many times we find ourselves restraining intimacy because of the presence of a corruption and impurities. Understand, in heaven, that's gone. That's gone. Can you imagine that kind of a relationship? No longer. Everybody around you will just look at you with those loving eyes and will just care about you the way Christ cares about you. Could you imagine the intimacy, the depth of the intimacy you can enjoy because of that corruption that's removed? Those are the relationships that are ahead of us in heaven. And do you see why? That's almost the most astounding one of them all. Because how can we even imagine a place where all people are made perfect? And then beyond that is the intimacy, perhaps the most importantly, we'll have with God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Revelation 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God.'" Revelation 21, verse 7, "The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." We will see the face of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? You can touch him. You can embrace him. You can ask him a question and hear an audible response without hindrance. You could walk with him in the cool of the garden. You could dwell with him with all these astounding places. We get to be with Jesus. And again, right back to that paradise of the Garden of Eden. What did they do every morning? They walked and talked in the cool of the day with God. Isn't that great? Don't you have something to look forward to? And so when we find ourselves facing the sufferings of this life, remember the incredible dwelling you have ahead of you, the incredible body that is awaiting you, and the incredible relationships that are in front of you. And if we can just simply grasp that, oh, the indestructible joy that we begin to develop if we can understand that. Isn't that great? Don't you want to receive that? Amen. This is the guaranteed future if you find yourself in Christ. Worship team, if you'd come and prepare to lead us, and if you would stand with us this morning. And this morning, we ended our worship a little bit early because we're going to continue it as we have a water baptism, and we're going to worship a little bit extended after the conclusion of this message to allow me and Tommy to get ready for baptism. But God has every intention to make you happy beyond your imagination. And as much as that sometimes is hard to believe because we see all the things we would love to have, we long for, all the things we long for in our hearts that we don't have in this life, all that stuff that you find yourself longing for here pales by comparison for the reward that is ahead of us. But if this newness that we were talking about, that all things are made new, and this reward has every intention to have an effect on us in this life. As we might wonder, well, then why doesn't Jesus just rapture us right up as soon as we accept Jesus? Well, there's a reason for that. Part of it is, like I said, that cultivation of the holiness that needs to change within us as we're preparing for that place. But also part of it is this. When Paul's talking about that resurrected body in 1 Corinthians 15, he wraps all of that up by making this statement in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, therefore, because of what's ahead, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And that's the reason why that parable of the banquet in Luke 14, the end of that parable is that they were to go out into the highways and the byways and try to convince as many people as they could to come into that banquet, because that's the mission. If you want to know why we're still here, because there is so much work to be done. And besides, doesn't it sound more amazing and more tempting if you, instead of telling someone, "You better do this or you're going to suffer in rotten hell," versus, "If you do this, do you understand what is ahead of you? Do you understand the reward that's guaranteed for you if you embrace Jesus Christ?" We're not offering them money. We're not telling them that they're going to get rich quick. We're telling them that when they reach the end of their life, if they are in Christ, the paradise that awaits. Why would you not want that? Why would you not want that? But the question is, where is our commitment to the journey? If you would close your eyes and bow your heads for a brief moment, heads bowed and eyes closed.